Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today I have the pleasure of having Gene Kelly. He is with Saltwater Home Resources. We're going to talk about improving your home. So it's a home improvement show today. If you want to chime in the conversation and ask questions, please call 347-324-3460. You can post a question in the chat room or email info@thecorebusinessshow.com. Gene, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tim, thanks for having us.
Great. I guess to begin with, you start your own company, Saltwater Home Resources. Kind of tell us about yourself and how did you start your company?
Well, Tim, I've been a contractor for over 25 years, located primarily in Florida, licensed state-certified building contractor, state-certified roofing contractor, and we decided to become a consumer advocate several years ago based upon, certain hurricanes, things that have hit our state, a lot of problems that caused folks and trying to get a good, worthy contractor. We decided to kind of spearhead and go in that direction to give folks some insight on how to pick a good contractor. But, as far as us, we started the company over 25 years ago to do building and construction, roofing, and all aspects of home remodeling.
Was it really difficult in stepping out there and being a contractor? What's usually involved is getting licenses and having a certain amount of experience?
Well, it depends. Then different municipalities, different states, counties require different things. Certain states like coastal communities where the codes are more stringent, licensing is harder to get. In Florida, for instance, it is much more difficult to get a license. It's about a year-long process and tens of thousands of dollars in books and schooling and that type of thing. And you have to take several tests to certify your competency so you can achieve the license. But it's all worth it at the end. I mean, it does produce a better contractor. But you still have folks that obtain a license, rent a license, whatever, and there's some unscrupulous guys out there that do those type of things. So we try to educate folks on that end of the business so they don't hire somebody that may become a problem or give them a bad, a bad project.
So when they become to the license, they need to be licensed by the county and the state or just by the state?
Usually it depends on where you're at. Several states have licensing by county. Several states have a state license. So it just really depends on your state. If somebody were thinking about becoming one, they need to contact their state licensing board and find out the requirements. And also they can check with their county and find out their county requirements as well.
Even though you have a licensed contractor, when it comes to getting permits, places you have to get a permit, some you kind of can get by without having a permit. Any construction job, home improvement, should you always have a permit?
Well, yeah, that's the misnomer. Yeah, like you just said, some places you can get by without one. Chances are you need that permit. If you have a doubt and you think you need one, you probably do. And it actually is better for the homeowner to get a permit anyway. If you ever sell your property and you did a project without an appropriate building permit, you could be held liable for that that project as well as correcting any deficiencies on that project. And if somebody were to ever get hurt, say electrical, plumbing, whatever it may be, you could have a civil problem. So it's not worth trying to bypass the permit. They're usually inexpensive, a few hundred dollars or less, and it actually gives you a good you get you a second set of eyes to look at the project from, you know, i.e. the building inspector. And, you know, you make sure you got a project that's done correctly for your family's safety and your peace of mind. But, yeah, always check on that building permit. Just give a call down to your local county, and they should be able to tell you whether you need one or not.
Now, when it comes to permits, be a little bit more specific, do you need a permit, like, for example, to get a roof done, or do you need a permit to have your house painted? Kind of paint us a picture of what you really need to have a permit for.
Okay, and I always say again, checking is the best form of prevention. Make sure you need one, call your county. But roofing, I have seen some states that don't require a building permit for a roof, and I have seen states that require a building permit for a small roof repair. So, yes, by and large, you do need a permit for roofing almost always. But check with your state, check with your municipality to make sure that you can do it legally without one. Painting, great question. A lot of folks don't think about this, but some of us live in an HOA or a homeowners association type community. You actually may not need a building permit for the paint, but you might need permission from the HOA on the colors, the choices that you might pick for your home. Otherwise, you could have a problem with your HOA. And believe it or not, they can lien a property, they can fine you, they can do all kinds of nasty things. So, again, check it. If you live in a deed-restricted community, make sure you check with your association before you paint or do any drastic changes to the outside of your home. And check with the county. Make sure you might need a building permit and see what they do, what they have to say.
Well, also when it comes to contractors, what should you really look besides having that license? Can you necessarily can't really verify building experience with today's how people do business because of some businesses are virtual and not, some people are not going to go out and just look for their building location, and sometimes they may operate in the back of their yard. What things they really need to look for outside that license when it comes to experience?
Well, that's another great question, Tim. There are a lot of two guys in a truck outfits out there that may work with a cell phone, don't have an actual physical office. Doesn't mean they're a bad company, because some companies do that. But the Internet is a great base to check a contractor, and if they do have a license, the biggest thing is to call that county licensing board, check, make sure it's valid, make sure they don't have any major complaints. And chances are, if they've done something bad, they probably have a track record of that, so you can check those type of things. The other big thing, too, is like with the licensing is the insurance. You want to make sure they have the proper insurances to do the type of work that you're asking them to do.
Okay. Oh, insurance. Now, are you covered by insurance if something goes wrong?
Well, yeah, a lot of folks don't realize. You've probably seen the business card of a tree guy or a roofer, carpenter. It says licensed and insured most on every business card. And when people see that, they get a false sense of security thinking that they're okay. But there are two insurances that contractors must carry. One is liability. Liability is going to be if they back into your garage or, damage something around your home. That's for liability. But workers' compensation insurance is for an injury, and you need to have a current copy or current policy. And I say don't take a copy out of a fax machine. You want to make sure the agent gives you a current copy to make sure it's valid, because it's expensive to keep it. A lot of guys will get it and then not keep it, if not enforce. And you could be faced with a civil suit if somebody were to get hurt on a property.
Well, kind of tell us what some common, really, home improvement projects that owners can do by themselves. They can pick up the book from Home Depot or something like that and kind of repair. Is it, repairing the toilet or a leaky faucet or, locking yourself in your bedroom or something? What are the common issues that homeowners usually face that they can do it themselves?
Well, Tim, the DIY do-it-yourself is great. You can get a lot of good information on the Internet. But, small projects, do what you're comfortable with. if you feel uncomfortable with the project, you probably want to get a professional in there to give you some advice. But painting, you know, landscaping, doing those basic things around the house, could be changing lights, fans, those type of things. Those are things that most homeowners can tackle. And believe it or not, a lot of the big chain home improvement stores have clinics. You can come in on a weekend, and they might have a how to change a faucet seminar, and you can set in on that for maybe 35, 40 minutes and learn how to change a faucet. There's a lot of good, useful information out there, and you can save some money doing it yourself. But remember, if you tackle something too big and mess it up, it'll probably cost you twice as much to fix it. So just be careful how you tackle those projects. Make sure your comfort level is there, and you should be okay.
What type of projects that a person can do to increase the value of their home?
Well, there's many things around a house that can do that. You know, square footage or room additions generally are what gives a home more value. But you can do a lot with curb appeal to help with value as well, Tim. And that could be painting. That could be upgrading the light fixtures on the outside of the home. That could be changing the locks. You get those old dingy door locks, put some nice brass locks that are shiny on there. Maybe put a kick plate on the bottom of the door, which might be a brass or gold or bronze kick plate. Those kind of things really enhance the focal appearance of your front door. And, you know, if you are going to sell it, that's generally what real estate folks will tell you to do anyway. But those things are going to enhance the look, the curb appeal, and can also help you sell your home and get the high dollar you want for it.
Wow. And, for example, I think you mentioned at the top of the hour regarding you kind of touched on landscaping. You know, if a person remove a tree, landscapers, you know, they come dime a dozen. A lot of them in a lot of communities come out and solicit to cut your yard. Is there any perceived liability of having someone to cut your yard? Or, you know, if they trim your bushes and maybe that's not a liability, but any other things that you might want to be concerned when you have that type of you
mm-hmm.
might not want them to remove a tree, of course,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Some of them say they will remove a tree or a bush, and, you know, all of a sudden they broke your sprinkler line or something, or they lawnmower
right.
run over your sprinkler system, and now you have to go get that repaired.
Right. Yes, great questions again, and that's a big one too, landscaping. You know, there's a lot of guys out here now doing that type of thing, and you're right, they're a dime a dozen. But it goes back to that insurance thing. You hire a guy to trim a tree, and he falls out of the tree and gets hurt, you're civilly liable for that person. So always make sure they have the liability and the workers' comp. And I can't stress it enough. If you don't take anything away from this show, folks, make sure you take this away. Make sure they have valid workers' compensation insurance. And if they won't give it to you or they can't get you a valid copy, don't use that contractor, because that is something that can really harm you. And you can be wrapped up in a lawsuit for many years and tens of thousands of dollars. So it's not worth it. Usually your bigger companies that advertise in the area generally have the insurances and those type of things. But, yeah, the day I used to do it, I mean, the day of pushing the lawnmower down the street and cutting the neighbor's grass for, you know, $10, those were great things for young kids to do. Unfortunately, if they get hurt on your property, you're liable. So this day and age of attorneys and all that, you want to make sure – you're covered and you have all the insurances, so you're protected and your family.
Great. Last two questions. What tools should you have in your tool bag as a do-it-yourselfer?
Yeah, we always recommend you know, have a tool bag or a go bag at your house. If you have a plumbing leak or something in the middle of the night and you can't get a hold of anybody, you need to have some basic tools to be able to maybe head off a big catastrophe until morning or something. But, you know, even just changing a fan or hanging a picture on the wall, you know, you want your basic stuff, your hammer, your adjustable wrench, you know, maybe assortment of pliers and screwdrivers, basic nails, finish nails, some small nails, maybe some hooks. Those type of things are great to have. The roll of duct tape, you should have that in there, maybe some electrical tape. Just your basic items are great to have when you need it. It's great to have it. Boy, when you got to search for it, it sure does make the day go long when you got to go up to the store and get just one thing or a screwdriver or something. So great to have it around the house. And you never know, you might be able to get out there and do something, folks, and save yourself a little bit of money.
Wow. Last question regarding, I think you have on here, they have on here regarding paneling. A lot of homes come with panel. Is it something really that a person can take off easily? You know, you had a 90 pine and you have actually the panel. Wall improvements, if you want to take that down, are those really easy options, or should a person just cover it up and just put sheetrock over it?
Well, you know, traditionally you can check your paneling. A lot of times you'll have drywall behind the paneling. Do a small test area. Try to look and verify if there's something behind it or if there isn't. You know, if you want to keep it inexpensive, there's some great primers now. There's actually great paints with primers built into them. You can actually paint over the paneling. If you choose to try to keep it that way and save a dollar or two. If you want to get it off, yeah, pry it off, get all that stuff off there, clean it, prep the area. You can re-sheet rock it as well. There's many different things you can do. You know, don't be afraid to tackle the project. But again, if it's too much of a project, get a professional in there and check it out.
Wow. Painting brick. Really, is it, should a person really paint brick? And are there things that can harm them in the future or the value of their home when they actually paint brick? Some
Well,
people.
yeah, that's
Go ahead.
another great question, Tim, because yeah, a lot of folks will come up and see a beautiful home and somebody painted over that natural brick, and oh man, it's just a disaster. A lot of times you can't get it off once it's stained. You know, trying to keep the brick natural is a much better option, especially if you're gonna sell it at some point in the future. You know, the painting of the brick, you're kind of married to it once that's done. So I always try to recommend cleaning it. There's different types of chemicals you can use, acids and things that will clean the brick, etch it, and you can reseal it, make it look brand new again if you're tired of it. But painting over it would be my last option. You know, unless it was damaged or had a problem and you wanted to paint it, you can. But yeah, try to keep it natural if you can. It definitely holds more value if you keep it natural.
But you can't go back and take it off.
You can. It's just a lot of work, and by the time you spend the money doing it, you can almost re-brick. So, you know, you might want to think about that before you do it. But yeah, if you really want to paint it, you know, by all means, there's great paints out there that'll go over the brick. But I would definitely think about it and make sure that's what you want to do before you do it.
Okay. And the very last one regarding the home improvement, when you move into a home or find out something went wrong. Not necessarily. You won't discover until years later. Company could be out of the business. Or you moved into the house and you find out much later, years later, that something wasn't installed incorrectly. You see it on Home and Garden all the time. Some contractor have taken shortcuts. Any recourse there, or you just have to do it yourself? It's me. You have to get someone to correct that issue.
Well, I have a few colleagues out there with shows that show the bad points of construction all the time. That's what they focus on. But yeah, it does happen. But you know, fixing the problem is one thing, but also finding out who's responsible is another. And they seem to never go down that road. There are many resources that you can check with your county, building departments, that type of thing, to find out if permits were pulled, who did it. And you'd be surprised that a lot of companies carry bonds. There's bonds that you can attach to and try to get recoup some of your money. There's many licensing boards that require contractors to have a bond for a project. And you never know what's out there until you start, you know, shaking that tree. But you know, even if a contractor's out of business, many states also have construction recovery funds, things of that nature, which you can apply to if you've been damaged by a contractor in some way. If he's still in business, you know, try to make contact with him to see if he'll make it right. That would be something that would be, you know, something to try to do. If he doesn't want to make it right, you got to find out if warranties are transferable. Some manufacturers offer high warranties on products. You know, if the product was installed correctly or malfunctioned, you might be able to get a manufacturer to cover it. So don't be afraid to go after that road and check it and see if you can do your homework, and you know, it may pay off at the end.
Wow, that's amazing. Anything else you'd like to leave us with? And of course, how to contact you and your business there in Florida?
Yeah, we're saltwaterhomeresources.com. You can also check us out at chooseroofer.com. You can also call here and ask for Gene Kennedy. I'm at 941-479-4951. We'd be happy to help anybody, any state. We can give you advice, steer you in a direction. We have many networks of contractors. Might be able to help you out from here, too, if we can.
Great. Well, Gene, thank you for joining the program.
Tim, thank you. As always, it's a pleasure. Hope to talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you. Take care.
You too.
Bye. This is another production of the Core Business Show. Thank you all for listening. You can download this episode on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. Everybody have a great day, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.